Thank you. You may be seated, and if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn with me to Mark chapter 7, please. Mark chapter 7, beginning to read in verse 31. And let's pray together before we look into the Word this morning. Thank you once more, our Father, for who you are. I pray, dear God, that as we think about these things this morning, that we'd be able to see you, even as Isaiah did in chapter 6, that you're high and you're lifted up and you're holy. Lord God, that you know us, that we could even be humble, Lord, like Isaiah, and realize that without your help that we can't make it. Dear God, that where he said he was a man of unclean lips, and we just thank you, Lord, that you're able to cleanse us and to make us whole and to use us. I pray, dear God, that our enemy, the wicked one, would not be able to have his way in our hearts and in our lives this morning. Just ask as we look into these things that you'd speak to us. And I thank you, Lord, that you're able. Dear God, that you're willing, that it's your will that all men should be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. It would be your will this morning for all of us that we would confess our sin. Not to each other, dear God, but to you. Lord, we know that it's your will when a man is backslidden or fallen that he would get up and turn to you. And Lord, we know that we're safe in praying and thinking that it's your will for us to live for you. Help us to do that today, dear God, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I've entitled this message for lack of gray matter in my own little skull, I guess, Clean Your Ears. It's important for us to hear what God says to us, don't you think? And if our ears are full of cobwebs or wax or sawdust or whatever, bugs, something. Have you ever got a bug in your ear? I'm going to tell you, one of the worst things ever is to have a fly in your ear. It seems like they have somehow, although there's supposed to be a brain in there somewhere, your head becomes incredibly hollow when a fly gets in there, and it seems like he's flying all around, right? Well, I want to read this passage in a moment, and I got thinking about this idea of our hearing. It's important for us to hear God when he speaks. It's interesting if you would go back and remember when Samuel was there with Eli. He wondered, had Eli spoken to him, but God had spoken to him. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And sometimes, you know, it's like the Lord speaks to us and we don't understand and we don't hear what he says. And I got thinking about this passage the other day because, you know, in the book of the Revelation, when we get to the seven churches there in chapter 2 and on into chapter 3, he says, "He that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church." What if your ears don't work? What if you're deaf like this guy in Mark chapter 7? And isn't it interesting that a deaf man came to Jesus? He was not able to hear what he said, so the Lord Jesus Christ cleared his ears. And we've spoken over the last little while about the fact that if I seek after God, it seems like the Lord gives us a means and a way. We have to be careful, though. I might have shared this before. I just thought it was so funny. There was this fellow, I believe he had cerebral palsy. I saw him on TV. And you know, if you get something off the internet, it's absolutely true every time, right? And how many times have you debated whatever it was with someone and they would say to you, "I saw that on TV, therefore it must be true." Well, this guy, and I believe he had cerebral palsy, said that he accidentally proposed to a deaf girl because it was difficult for him to speak, and as he was trying to get the words out, she was looking at the sign language, and the problem was, he said, she said yes. Then they got married, now she never listens. I saw it on TV. Has to be true. Actually, I discovered I married a girl who could hear. I proposed. She said, yes, we've been married for a long time, and sometimes I get the impression that she's not listening. Do you think it's possible that God speaks to us in various ways? He speaks to us through his word. If you're in our adult Sunday school class, you would know that I don't believe in extra-biblical revelation. God has given us His Word. We're indwelt by God the Holy Spirit, and He gives us these little unctions sometimes. He nudges us to take a look around. And it was kind of interesting the other day that I didn't get a sign from God. I'm not saying that. But sometimes the Lord reminds us of things that are already there. Ever had a bad day? I shouldn't confess this, you know. And I still am of the persuasion, I haven't said this for a while, I was reminded on Friday night, I'm very pleased with our youth program right now. It, as far as I'm concerned, best it's been in a long time. I attribute part of it to young fellow who brings the games. I attribute part of it to young fellow who's the coordinator and the director, or whatever you want to call him. His name is Josh and Philip. You know? But one of the things that we have at our youth program that I think is missing in a lot of churches, there's three or four or five adults, parents and moms and whatever, who are there every week. And it's a good help. It's an encouragement to me. It's good. One of the fathers stopped in here the other night, and it was good for him because there were some folks there. I like how our youth program is going. And I have failed to say this in a while. I think you're seated right now in the best church in far and wide. That's why you're here, right? You understand that, and you know that. So you need to get the word out to some others so they will join you. And I just wanted to look at this portion of Scripture, and as I studied through this, you know, we read and understand, and we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to say this by way of introduction, this miracle that took place here in the 7th chapter of Mark happened at a time when, if you were to go back and look at the previous 6 chapters and the 7th that we're in, the Lord Jesus Christ had gotten to a place in His ministry where He had been tired. He had been traveling. He had been pestered. The Pharisees, the religious people of the day, were getting tired of some of the things that He did and the things that He said, and they were trying to trap Him. He had gotten to the place where He would wish that sometimes the multitudes would go away. He had suffered, and He was suffering, I believe, by this point in time, some sinless infirmities. You know, being tired isn't a sin. Being hungry isn't a sin. I try to convince my wife and some others sometimes that, you know, eating isn't a sin. I get hungry and tiredness and being thirsty and all those things. The Lord Jesus Christ had come to a point in His life where He had His own burden to bear because He understood and knew who He was, what was coming. And He had the burden of the apostles to bear. He had the burden of those who followed Him to bear. He understood lostness. And when He looked around at the people that He would talk with and minister to and made an effort to reach for Himself, for God, and He sometimes got tired. It was at one of these times when He was tired, I believe, when this took place. And let's just take a look and try to get some understanding as we look at this. Keep in mind, and I want to mention this again, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Under the churches, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now we have a situation where somebody who these things couldn't apply to comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, but this man was deaf. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear. This man's ears didn't work. So what does the Lord Jesus Christ do in that situation? Look what it says. Verse 31, and again departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him, and just by the way, when you look at this idea of Decapolis, it carries with it the idea here. Here was a place, and from the word, there were 10 cities. This wasn't just one place. The idea was, we're in a place, and it was called this because of the number of cities, and he traveled around there. And it was very wearying. Verse 32, and they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. Now the idea here with beseech, it's an interesting word. We see the word beseech, you know, a number of times in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren. The idea of beseech is that I'm giving you this information not just so you'll know, but you'll do something about what you know. When you see beseech, it carries the idea not just, they didn't just bring this guy so Jesus would know about it, they wanted him to do something about what he knew. They brought to him, it says, and they bring him, verse 32, one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand on him. They wanted him to touch this man. Why? Because they believed if he could touch him, that this man could be made whole, that he could be healed, that he would be able to hear, and that he'd also be able to speak. It's kind of interesting when you stop and look at the idea of faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you're here this morning and you're deaf, you're not going to be able to understand the word. And if you're unable to speak, when you are healed, if you were healed of your deafness and you couldn't speak, you wouldn't be able to broadcast what you heard. And here's the man that they brought, and the idea is pretty simple when you stop and think about who Jesus was and what he'd already been doing and what he did. Is this man, we're going to bring this man who can't speak very well, and he can't hear, and if Jesus could touch him, he could hear. And he could also speak. You know, as believers, the Great Commission carries with it going into all the world and do what? To broadcast, to preach and to teach and to baptize and to bring people to Christ. It's like you're here this morning as a believer and the Lord Jesus Christ has touched your heart, he has touched your ears, and you're able to hear God's word and he touched your lips. And the idea is we're supposed to be going into the highways and the byways of the world, and to reach people for Christ. So here's this man, and as we get on to verse 33, it says, and he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. I was kind of wondering the other day when I saw this, wouldn't it be nice if somehow, when we get to be with the Lord, if we could ask for a replay? Somehow this man arrives where Christ is. He couldn't hear. Somebody brought him. How did they tell him that if you go and you see this man will be able to heal your hearing? Somehow that was communicated to this guy and he went there. I kind of wonder what he looked like. There's a big range in my mind what he may have looked like. I kind of pictured that maybe he looked like Stefan Dion. Why? Well, he doesn't speak very good English. This is a guy who could speak pretty well. Maybe he looked like... I could have fun, but you know what? I could get in trouble for making fun of politicians, so I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to hold my tongue. You imagine yourself who he maybe looked like. Nonetheless, here's this man. They got him there. And Jesus took him away from the multitude. It was a miracle that he sort of performed in private. Why do you suppose he did that? I've speculated a whole lot of reasons. But I thought, you know, in my own life and in your life, it's important. Sometimes, even in the midst of a crowd, the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be alone with you and with me. He has done his better work in my life when I've been alone. And sometimes, you know, you can be alone in a crowd. We look at these things, and I was thinking, you know, we look at this man and we would say, yeah, he was deaf, he didn't hear. Sometimes we have in our midst people who aren't deaf, but they don't listen. You don't hear because you aren't listening, you're not tuned in. And I can remember the moment of my salvation. I was in a crowd. I was one of the few people who was genuinely saved in a church. My guess would be there was 130 people in the room that day, but it was as if I was there by myself with Christ. He had somehow gotten me aside alone and opened my ears. And I find it interesting when I look at this portion of Scripture, and I thought about it a lot of times. Here's a man, verse 33, he took him aside from the multitude. They were alone, I'm not very far away, but there was a one-on-one conversation somehow with this man who was unable to hear. I don't know about you. Did you ever have somebody try to put their fingers in your ears? If somebody came up and they tried to stick their fingers in my ears, stop that. I don't want you to put my... He convinced the man somehow to stand there and let him put his fingers in his ears. I think there were a couple of things went on. There was some sign language. How would you get that across to somebody? Right? Come over here. I'm going to put my fingers in your ears. Why? He was already at the place where he knew somehow, because somebody told him somehow, if you could just come to this, this man can help you. So I think there was sign language went on between them, don't you? The man couldn't hear, so Jesus somehow indicated to him, come over here close enough that I can reach, and I will put my fingers in your ears. I think there was eye contact between the two. And somehow the man trusted the eyes of the one who was looking at him. And the Lord Jesus Christ was able with his eyes to really send a message. Do you remember Peter after he had denied him? It was when the cock had crowed and Jesus looked at Peter. Peter wept. So there was a communication going on between this man who was deaf and the Lord Jesus Christ who was about to heal him, and went on to say that he put his fingers in his ears. I think part of the reason that he took him apart from the crowd, and it's recorded here, we know what happened. I'm not so sure that they did until after he told them, because can't you see it if it happened in our day? There would be those who believe in extra-biblical revelation who would say, and I guess they do anyway, it would be, well, if you could just take a deaf person and stick your fingers in their ears, then you could heal them. I want to tell you, you can stick your finger wherever you want. It wasn't an ordinary person who put the fingers in his ears. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says he put his fingers in his ears and he spit and touched his tongue. Now, I had a kind of fun looking at some of my commentaries. There are those who have the idea that Jesus spit on his tongue. It doesn't say that. It doesn't suggest that. I don't believe he did that. I think it was sort of part of the communication and part of the sign language, don't you? Just a minute, I'm going to fix your ears. And did you ever try to clip your tongue to your teeth or to your lip and try to spit? You can't do it. This guy was tongue-tied. He had real problems with his mouth and with his ears. And the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, at least, was indicating to him, I'm going to fix your ears and your tongue. Watch this. Boom. It wasn't that there was some healing quality in saliva or anything like that. Jesus spit to indicate to him what he was about to do and so on. And the guy goes on here and says, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, be open. I don't know how come he sighed. Do you? It's like, oh, finally, it was like he looked up to heaven. Why do you think he looked up to heaven? He wanted the man to know, who couldn't understand, he wasn't because he couldn't hear, he looked up so this guy who was deaf could see him looking up. And he said, it's like, hey, do you get it? You were created by the God of heaven, by the God of the Bible. I'm who I say I am, I'm his son, and I don't know how long this whole procedure took, not very long. But there was an understanding, and it says, verse 35, and straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loose, and he spake plain. There wasn't anything wrong with his speech whatsoever. Can you imagine what that must have been like for that guy? All of a sudden, he had an understanding of what had happened. He can now hear, and he can now speak. And it says here, and he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things. Well, He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. And he did it all in the same person on the same day, in the same procedure. I got thinking about this miracle and what had happened and how he had told them not to tell anyone. He told them that, but I think he quite well knew that they were going to. This was a miracle. This man wasn't able to speak before. He wasn't able to hear. And can you imagine when this man went out and he went back and he told the people, you know, hey, what, when you were taken aside there by Jesus, what did he do? Well, he put his fingers in my ears. Then he spit on the ground and he told me to speak and I was able to speak. And the idea was, can you just imagine what had happened? How the Lord had dealt with this person, how he had spoken to this person. And somehow how he convinced him, if I can just do this. And I got thinking about this and looking at this portion of Scripture and wondered, you know, how really, in a sense, does this apply to us? Why is this included in the New Testament? Here was a person who clearly was unable to hear. Have you ever witnessed to someone and it's just as if they're deaf? It's like you talk to somebody about the Lord and you know they don't believe you. They think you're silly. In a physical sense, this represents and tells us something that happened to every one of us who's here this morning as a believer. Because do you know, there was a point in life, in my life and in time, when although I had heard the gospel many, many times, I had no understanding. It went into the ears of my head and stopped there. And as I thought about this scripture, and once more it kept coming to me, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, what about that person that you know, and that person that I know, who's deaf to the gospel? They've heard the gospel and they're not listening. Here was a man who was deaf. He needed the Lord to open his ears. Do you think that we can pray and ask the Lord to open the ears of understanding of those who have heard but don't understand? That's right for us to do that, isn't it? Isn't it the Lord that opened your ears? And he opened my ears? And I've thought about it, you know, so many times since. And I sat down the other day and was going through my prayer list and thinking about some things and all this stuff, you know, that's sometimes said and people can misinterpret, misunderstand things that you say and that I say that the Lord said. The Pharisees misunderstood or misinterpreted what the Lord said all the time. We need the Lord to open our ears. And I thought, sometimes we don't hear because we're not listening. Sometimes we don't hear because we need someone to make us to understand. One of the things that dawned on me with this gentleman was just this. When he came to a place where he understood actually what had happened to him, even though he was told not to, he broadcasted what he heard. We're sort of the opposite. When the ears of our understanding is open, the Bible tells us that we're to broadcast what we heard. He broadcasts when he's told not to. We're told to and we don't. I think it's just time that we started to listen again. And what do you think, or what do you think, and I've thought about this, you know, I thought, okay, Lord, this is included in the 7th chapter of Mark. We're going through chapter Mark here at the church. What is the message in this for us? And it's just this. I think it's time for all of us, and it's probably always this time, but in particular, if you want to look at it this way, I would be called, I guess, a sovereigntist. For those of you who that sounds scary, I don't believe in the 5 points of Calvinism, so you don't have to worry if that's a worry. I'm not a Calvinist, but I'm a sovereigntist. What's a sovereigntist? I believe that God is in control of every situation, of every circumstance, of every creature. That we have a God who's sovereign, he is the right, and he is in control, and we can trust him. If I can trust God, maybe I should listen to him. And if I were listening to him, what do you suppose this morning God is saying to me? What is God saying to you? What does God want you to do with all the information you have of everything in the past that you've heard, everything that you've heard already? And I can say this. I was talking with someone just yesterday. And I guess I probably mentioned this already. We're safe to pray that a lost person would be saved, aren't we? Because we have a God who would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. We're safe in praying that somebody who once lived for the Lord and isn't anymore would start to, because the Lord wants us to be what? To be reconciled and to be restored. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be like Him. He wants us to exercise the gifts that He's given, and He wants the fruit of the Spirit to be exercised in our lives. So one of the things, and it shouldn't be hard as a believer, that I have to determine is, Lord, if You speak to me through Your Word, and if You speak to me through God the Holy Spirit, I need to ask You to help me to understand what You're saying. So, having said that, I'm just going to close with this. What is it that God is saying to you today? And one more question. What do you intend to do with that, whichever it is that the Lord is saying to you? It's my responsibility to, like somebody brought this man to the Lord Jesus Christ, that his hearing would be open. My responsibility is to bring a person to the place where they would understand that the Lord is speaking to them. I have no clue what the Lord is saying to you. And it's not my responsibility to force anybody to do with whatever it is the Lord is saying to you to do it. In my life, I'm responsible to do what the Lord asked me to do. In your life, you're responsible to do what the Lord is telling you to do. How does He tell us? He tells us from His Word. He tells us from the indwelling Spirit. But I believe the truth of the matter is, if you're here this morning and the Lord isn't speaking with you, you're in trouble. And we just need to have our ears cleaned. And in this case, the Lord somehow cleaned the guy's ears, we'll say with His fingers. And the guy heard, and the guy spoke. Wouldn't it be great if every single believer, somehow every believer in this room today got to the place where, okay, I'm going to just do what the Lord asked me to do, and I'm going to become a witness for Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank You again that as we look at this seems like a simple parable, although, Lord, I guess we know there would be no such thing as a simple parable, or miracle rather, but Lord, here's just an everyday miracle that the Lord did over and over. Dear God, when we stop and look at the significance, a man who was unable to hear heard, a man who was unable to speak spoke. And Lord God, if we look into our own lives in a spiritual sense, we were all once deaf and unable to speak. Just ask, Lord, that You would unplug our ears and loosen our tongues, sear our tongues as You did for Isaiah, and that we would all be the witnesses that we ought to be. We thank You for it in Christ's name.